You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks, and I hope you had a great 4th, a wonderful 4th. It was exciting for us. It was totally exciting. This was probably one of the most exciting July 4th that I think we've ever had, and as you probably know, that the George Wilder for a few days because of it, and we had a great time. It was wonderful. I hope you had a great time. And it's beautiful in Chicago. I'm hearing that there's some sort of a heat wave going on around the country. It is hot right here. And I want to say, hey, we're enjoying the summer weather, but hey, stay out of the sun. You know, if you got to go out, make sure you stay in the shade. Have something to cover your head, like a hat or something with a long bib, you know. You want to keep yourself safe in this extremely hot and sometimes deadly weather. But it's pretty cool to me. It's pretty hot. It's a mess. It's humid. But like I said before, like always, I'm in my studio near the lake, and it's cooler near the lake, even though it is humid also. But I think people who are living and going about whatever they're going about inland is getting the worst of it. And so it's been a great thing weather-wise. And we also have some other note to take on that. Once again, Chicago, the city of Chicago has made the national news, and you know what it is, deadly violence. And deadly violence, I mean, we've had 50 people, I think 50 people shot and at least 3 or 4 people actually killed. And that's for the weekend of the 4th of July. You know, and that's unacceptable. And now they're saying, but there's a glimmer of hope here, folks. I don't know where the hope is, but the superintendent saying that there's a glimmer of hope. And I don't see any glimmer of hope saying that the crime statistics are down. You tell that to somebody who just had their child, their 3 or 4 year old, 10 year old child shot. You ask them if crime is down. You ask them if crime is down. Crime, Chicago, it's a damn shame, folks. Chicago, every time there's a killing in Chicago, it makes the national stage. It's national. It's all around America, maybe the world. Whenever someone gets shot, it has gotten that bad, and it's been like that for a while. We have more crime in Chicago than New York, Los Angeles, combined, and we're a smaller state than those states. But however, our officials can't seem to get this right. I mean, I put this crime, I put this on the governor, I put this on the mayor, and I put this on the superintendent. They just can't seem to keep our children safe. I mean, I'm stuttering. There are some signs on the south side saying, some signs on the south side and the west side that are clearly stating, do not shoot. Children are playing here. Do not shoot. I want to live to grow up. This is ridiculous. And there's so many people who are saying crime has not gotten better. It has not gone down. It has gotten a lot worse. The thing is, there are so many others within the United States. Crime statistics are not as high as it is in Chicago. And as I just got through saying, Los Angeles and New York combined don't even have the murder rate that Chicago has. What are these states doing and other states doing within America that are keeping their crime rate low that Chicago isn't doing? I don't think this should be rocket science for the governor, for the mayor, for the superintendent. I don't believe this should be rocket science for them. If you want to know how to lower crime in the city of Chicago, and that's what this show is about, making the world a better place one show at a time, one show at a time. I said crime. If you want to know how to make lower Chicago's crime rate, look at some of these other cities. See what they're doing. Copy what they're doing, especially if the crime is low I can't even say it, folks. I'm so irritable. Check out the crime rate and the lower crime rate in some of these other cities and towns, the low rate, and find out what the hell are they doing to keep their crime down at a minimum. And Chicago should probably emulate those. Because whatever Chicago is doing, and I've said this in many shows, and you probably know that if you've been listening, we need to saturate these communities with police officers. They need the army, actually. They need the National Guard, because the police, our police, the Chicago police, doesn't seem to know what it is doing. It's a damn shame when 50 people get shot and all a superintendent can do is come on television and say crime is down. And he expects us to buy that. 60 people are shot. 10 people are dead. And the superintendent, the first thing he does, he gets his face on television and say, crime is down. Now, either he thinks we're stupid or he just doesn't have a clue. Maybe a little bit of both. But there is nothing wrong. Just like I said, there's nothing wrong in trying to find out what other states are doing to keep their crime numbers low. And Chicago should emulate those other states with those low crime rates. Because it's just ridiculous to think that we're the third largest city in the United States. And yet, we have more crime than other cities combined. That's ridiculous. And yet we're paying all of these police officers, these superintendents, to protect us. We have politicians, Bruce Rauner, John Cullerton, the mayor, Mary Manuel, Michael Madigan, all of these leaders here in the state of Illinois, and they don't have a damn clue as to why crime is so high. Crime is even permeating throughout some of the elite areas in the city. If you don't stop crime in one area of the city, it's going to permeate through all out through the city. You got to stop it. They don't have a clue. They take guns off the streets. They talk. They try to blame parenting and the guns. The guns on the street. We know that there's bad parenting. That's a misnomer. We know all of that. But the police, they have a big part to play in this also. They have a part to play in this also, and they're not playing it. I mean, the only time you actually see police officers in high crime areas, in my estimation, the only time you see them is when the after the fact. The only time you see them is when the crime is done. It has been committed. And then there are six or seven police officers standing around while the perpetrator, the shooter, is getting away. And now that's something I don't think should happen. I don't think police officers should be standing around in groups, in circles, six or seven, maybe eight or nine, 10 police officers standing around a crime scene when they should be out immediately looking for the suspects and the perpetrators of that crime. It's just something is not happening within the police department. If other states can lower crime, why can't Chicago? What is Chicago, the Chicago Police Department, not doing to lower crime? Please do not blame bad parenting. Please do not blame guns on the street, even though they are two culprits. But the police, like I just got through saying, they have a role in this also. This is what this show is all about, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You know, I'm talking about trying to help to lower the crime rate in the city of Chicago, even lower than those in other states. But somehow we have become the crime center of the world. Every time somebody is killed, it makes national news. That's a great big embarrassment for Chicago. There is no doubt prominent people are leaving the city. Prominent people are having their children to leave the city. People on the west and south sides of the city, they're packing up. But you don't hear this. You don't hear it from politicians. They don't want you to really they don't want it to come out of their mouths because they're afraid that you might leave. And, you know, they want you to pay all these taxes. But when people are leaving, who's going to be left to pay taxes? Who's going to be left to pay taxes? They got to do something about this crime, folks. Chicago, the police, they have to do. I've offered solutions on this show. Every time this show is on, every time I'm on, every episode, if you listening to every episode on the show, I'm always saying, hey, Wild, we're trying to make the world a better place. I'm not just here just to be on a microphone. I'm here to try to make the world a better place, try to make Chicago a better place. You know, I can offer my ideas, my solutions of ways to get crime down. But if they don't implement it, they don't put it to work, you know, there's nothing that can be done. I've said several times, saturate these crime areas with police officers. Do not just have police officers just patrolling the area, whether on foot or in a vehicle. Have them posted there for 8 hours a day, 4 to 8 hours a day. And the only time they leave is when they are relieved of their duties by another officer who's going to be posted there 24 hours a day. Or either go get the National Guard and the Army and build a military post over there on all sides. There is a way to eliminate this. You know, whether it's my way or some other way that they can try and find a way to lower the crime in the city of Chicago because it is embarrassing. It is totally embarrassing. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY. It is 6:14, 6:15, straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time. It is a beautiful day. And like I said before, a happy belated July 4th. It was a great day. I mean, there are people all over the world were just celebrating the 4th of July. I mean, it was wonderful. The nation's birthday. Wow, that's got to be something. I was talking to my son about that because you know, he seems to be on another plane, but it was the nation's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, America. Wow, that's great. All right, my guest for today is, she's been on twice, author Melissa Hood returns, and she has a lot to talk about. She's going to be talking about her book, Memoirs, HDAD, Mind. I think we talked about that last time she was on. She may have something new to talk about on the show today. Okay, we should maybe expect her in around 15 minutes, if not sooner. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show to talk about times, making the world a better place. Anything goes. You know, this is where smart people come. All right, we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on a musical break.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Oh, wow, folks. It's something here now. I mean, we've got the Mega Millions lottery. I mean, it is a hell of a jackpot. $454 million. People are on a frenzy. And this is for tonight. Yeah, we haven't got our tickets yet, but after this show, we're going to run out and get those tickets. You know, what can I say? You want to be a part of it. If you're going to lose, George, you're going to lose big. That's what I always say. If I'm going to lose the lottery, if I'm going to lose money, I'm going to lose big, and this is going to be a big one. Who knows? But you want to stay positive because, you know, it's a lot of money. $454 million. And people are frantic. They're buying tickets in droves. I mean, they're just wiping these tickets up. Somebody's going to win this money tonight. And I hope it's me, and I hope it's you. If it's you, I hope you share it with me. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, just like I just got through saying, the July 4th weekend was a bloody one in the city of Chicago. It was a totally bloody weekend. 3 people killed, from what I'm looking at here, 50 people wounded. And then the superintendent goes on television saying that it was better than it was last year. And I keep saying to myself, better than it was last year. Give me a break. There is nothing different about last year and this year. From my estimation, there's nothing different. I don't see where crime has gone down since last 4th of July, 2015, in the city of Chicago. This is just a bunch of superintendents trying to cover their ass because they fail to lower crime in the city of Chicago. They're getting six-figure salaries, and yet they cannot deliver on protecting the people of this city from the thugs, the crazy folks here with guns, who are still too allowed to buy guns because of Congress. Holiday violence in the city of Chicago. And we don't only have holiday violence in the city of Chicago. We have terrorist attacks all around the country. Every time I look around, I'm hearing about a terrorist attack somewhere in the world. And somehow we still haven't got a handle on eliminating terrorist attacks. I wonder why Chicago can't get it right. America can't get it right. The world can't get this right on stopping these thugs from killing multiple people. I'm getting the feeling, I'm kind of getting the feeling that they actually don't want to. It's something behind it. 347-857-1762. Something is behind it to why they will not solve the crime that they're getting paid to solve. The crimes that they are getting paid to solve. It's something. Something's there. It is something there. Our children are dying. Innocent people are dying. People can't play outside. They got to play behind bars because they're afraid they're going to get a bullet in the head. It is totally, totally ridiculous. You know, it is totally ridiculous. I'm like Jesse Jackson, and even before he even mentioned this, you know, I was saying this. I do think the federal government somehow should get involved in trying to figure out how to lower the crime in the city of Chicago. The federal government should get involved because the politicians, they don't seem to know. The superintendent, the police, they don't seem to know. Just as I said last year, I think the federal government should get involved in the budget mess here because the politicians, they just don't seem to know how to do a damn thing. That's why we have a federal government, in case, you know, things aren't going right. People do not know how to do their jobs or will not do their jobs. There's a federal government to do it for them. And Jesse Jackson espoused this too. He's been espousing this a long time. The federal government needs to get their asses, their fingers out of their asses, and come to Chicago and try to solve these crimes. I mean, not just investigate bad police officers, but help to to solve these crimes. I'm pretty sure that the federal government at one time probably has even offered their help to Chicago, offered their help to the state of Illinois, and the politicians turned them down. I'm pretty sure that Obama and his administration the FBI, you know, offered their help. They say, well, you got this crime is out of control in Chicago. You guys need help. We've got plenty of men. We got ideas. We got profilers. We got all of this stuff. We want to help. Manuel turned them down. The governor turns them down. The people in the legislature turn all of this help down. Why do they turn it down? I don't know. Maybe they want to save face and say that, hey, we can do this. We don't need the federal government. You cannot do this. You need help. You need all kinds of damn help. When you have Los Angeles, New York combined, they have lower crime than Chicago combined. We are the national disgrace when it comes to solving crime. We need help. The federal government should step in regardless of what the politicians say. The politicians say, hey, wow, we don't want them. We don't need them. We can do this ourselves. You cannot do this yourself. It's been proven. I mean, year after year after year, weekend after weekend after weekend, it proves you cannot do this, Eddie Johnson. You cannot do this, Emmanuel. You need a lot of help. Let the federal government step in and take over and get these bums out. I admit there are times when the Chicago Police Department, matter of fact, a few weeks back, they have really, really cracked down on some of these gangs in some of these areas. They have arrested them. They've confiscated guns. That's a good thing, but somehow it just is not enough. It is not enough. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm so glad to be here, folks. We were off for a few days. I know you missed that. But like I said before, even if I'm off a few days, you know, I took off for the, you know, we took off for the 4th of July, and then we just had some extra days in there. And it was fun. It was great. I enjoyed the time off, folks. I really did. But I'm back now, and I'm ready to get to work. And I want to get to work. When I say get to work, I'm talking about getting to work, solving the problems of the city of Chicago and around the world, because that's what this show is all about, making this show, making the world a better place, one place at a time. That's what it's all about. You know, I just feel as if you're on this earth, you've got to be able to help someone else out, no matter what it is, no matter how much you've got or what you don't have. I mean, you don't always need money to help someone out. Okay, you don't have, you can help someone out with your time, or just saying a kind word about someone, or giving someone support, or being there for that person when they need you, however, but is not expecting you. That's one of the greatest things anybody can do. We're talking about making the world a better place. And it can happen. It can happen. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Making the world a better place is going to be tough. But folks, it can happen. You know, it can happen. Don't ever feel like you're helpless, that things are just happening. It's you're not helpless. No one is helpless. But I understand when people feel helpless, but this is about being positive. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is just so wonderful. The weather-wise, it is. It's great. It's summertime. I mean, they're talking about it's going to be hot and sweaty all week. Bring it on. Bring it on. Just break out those fans and air conditioners. It's been a great, wonderful It's been a great 4th of July, and I want to wish everybody out there a belated 4th of July, because I was off, and we had a great time. We had a great time. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, hello, you on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, this is Melissa Hood. How are you, Mr. Wilder?
I am fine. How are you? Thanks for...
I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you again.
It is. And how's the weather there?
Well, we've got probably over 100, like 101. It's here. That's 101 in Texas right now, so it's pretty hot. Heard you guys are hot up there in Chicago.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. I mean, I'm not complaining, though. We've had some bad weather lately, and I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But, however, you can start complaining when it's kind of humid, though, you know?
I know. We can relate. Texas has got the Gulf Stream, too, so I can totally relate.
Hey, wow, great. So tell my audience who you are and give a little bio on what you're doing.
Well, my name is Melissa Hood, and I'm the author of Memoirs of an ADHD Mind, God Was a Genius in the Way He Made Me. My book is basically about overcoming obstacles, and my obstacle was ADHD. I lost 40 jobs in 15 years learning to overcome the condition. And so I wrote the book to encourage people, you know, that anything in this life is overcomable. It's all about attitude. It's all about, you know, what your spiritual foundation is and how you approach the problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you put your experiences in a book because you want to help other people who are going through some of those same things that you did.
Yes, sir, I did. I really think that we live in times that are really, really difficult right now, spiritually as well as emotionally for people, and even, you know, psychologically. We're seeing so many people have breakdowns in the family, breakdowns as far as in the work environment, and my goals are to help people learn to cope and to approach it with the Word of God so that they can overcome and move into blessing, move into destiny.
You know what? My son, I don't know if we talked about this before, but my son has autism, and I think he has some of that ADHD because a lot of times he would go out and volunteer, and he would get fired from volunteering jobs because he could not actually pay attention, look people straight in the eye, you know, but he's a nice kid. And,
yes.
You know, I was wondering if there was something, maybe if someone like me is going through something like that, how would I get or is this a lifelong thing for him?
You know, firstly, I've worked with autistic children as well, and these kids are brilliant, as well as the ADHD children, and they're brilliant, out-of-the-box thinkers. And in my interactions with autism, I've dealt with a young man, and everyone, whether you're clinically diagnosed with autism or with ADHD, they have tics and quirks. So it's teaching people how to get beyond the tics and quirks and allowing the student to learn the way that they learn, as well as being themselves in their environment so that they can adjust to those environments and then, you know, progress in their learning.
Yeah, but you say learning. I have been told by several people who were educators that he could never learn, and I always dismissed that because he can learn.
Absolutely.
Like you just got through saying, artistic kids are very artistic. They are very smart. They're very intelligent.
They just, genius level, actually.
Yeah.
They're genius
yeah,
level.
They may hear information differently. They may, you know, mash it up a little differently. But they are – I was surprised at how smart my son is. I was surprised at the things I thought he didn't know that he did know. But they're, you know –
What's interesting about what you're saying is because I had a friend whose son is autistic, and this young man, he wasn't really socially acclimated, but what he could do was just absolutely amazing to me because he could take an entire lawnmower apart or a computer apart and put it right back together again with no directions. And I was just absolutely amazed. And so I would tell my friend, I was like, how does he know to do that? And she said, I don't know. He knows. He just knows how. And he's actually, the child is very, very intelligent. He knows how to do, systematical things, technology-type things.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas he might not advance so well in the classroom. But it's all about, you know, what you focus in on, how you train them and how you teach them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're saying someone who is artistic is basically not the same as being ADHD? They're two separate.
You know, I have to honestly say I've heard from educators and from psychiatrists that sometimes the symptoms blend over into the other, and it kind of confuses doctors because they don't know how, you know, sometimes they don't know if it's separated or if it's actually a combined diagnosis. So it's interesting that you say that.
Mm,
Very, very interesting. And so, I mean, I'm the young man that I met, I was in Houston at a book fair, and this kid was just a beautiful kid. He was just an awesome young man and sweetest, sweetest personality. And the only thing he had a hang up with, or like with me when I'd shake his hand, he had a germ phobia. And so he would, like, try not to touch your hand when you were shaking him, which is impossible. And I would be just like, okay, how do I handle this? Because I don't want to offend him or I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. But I was absolutely amazed in just speaking to him, the level of intelligence that he would, he would just convey to me. I was like, golly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
But my son has one thing. He cannot look at you directly. One of his teachers told me just because he wasn't looking you directly in the eye when you talk to him, that it didn't mean that he wasn't listening and he didn't know that he wasn't listening to what you were talking about. He knew everything you were saying, but he wasn't making eye contact.
Well, and for the ADHD,
I had a hard problem with that.
I think that would trouble me, I think, too, because some children may struggle in their self-esteem as far as their ability to make eye contact, but it doesn't mean they're not attentive. And, like, say for the ADHD part of his what he struggles with in the condition, that's a completely different thing in the fact that ADHD kids, we can be all over the place. As far as even as adults, it can continue on into adulthood unless we learn to master the condition. And so that's what the trick is learning to master it. But when we're in a learning environment, we think on multiple levels at one time. And we're always thinking. A lot of people think we're preoccupied when the reality is our brain is just thinking about everything that's coming into our sphere of influence. And so we're trying to organize the information that comes into that sphere. We're trying to disseminate the high points from the low points, what's important, what's not important. And the younger the brain, the lower the cognitive abilities will be of that brain to maneuver into higher level learning. And so that's where educators need to probably be a little bit more patient. And I think parents can help teach educators about their child because the parent knows their child better than anyone.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you, some of HD, or autism, there's a lot of people out there that my son loves being around people, but there's a lot of people that he's around doesn't understand him or doesn't understand his problem. And that may be because, you know, maybe they don't want to. So my question is, should these type of people be around people who do not understand them or people who understand what they're going through? Because you said you've lost a lot of jobs. Obviously, those people did not understand what you were going through.
Right. You know, that's hard. It's going to differ per person in their level of comfort being around people that may or may not accept them. I mean, for me, I can only speak for me. I mean, and you are your son's strongest advocate as a parent because sometimes kids, when they're younger, they don't feel like they have a right to stand up for themselves when they do have a voice. And so the parent, I always tell parents, you are your child's voice when they can't stand up for themselves. But for me, you know, I do know myself. I have tics and quirks. I know that my fidgeting can get on people's nerves. I know that my hyperactivity can make other people nervous. And so I have a tendency, I'm not going to lie and tell you I don't have a tendency to avoid some people versus others because everybody wants to be loved and accepted. And so, I think that they would have some people versus others. Absolutely.
How did you cope with losing so many jobs? Did that mess with your self-esteem a little?
Oh, big time. You know, it's funny because all my life I'd been told that I was stupid. And when the reality of the matter was, is I just learned differently. And that's the whole truth about ADD, ADHD kids, or even autistic kids. We just learn differently.
Yeah.
And Well, for me, it was like a 15-year time span where I would just lose job after job. And the whole time, I mean, I'm thinking, is there something wrong with me? Am I just stupid? Why can't I learn? But at the same time, I'm ultra frustrated because I knew I was capable of so much more. And I just didn't understand what was wrong with me. And so that was employers, lack of knowledge about the condition in the science world, lack of knowledge at the time versus, you know, what we know now. So,
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say it's probably the employer's lack of knowledge of your condition that caused them to, you know, to let you go those many times. Because I think that HD or autism, I think these are some of the most productive people there is.
They are. We are, actually. We're, like, people have told me I'm an overachiever. They told me I'm an overachiever, but it's because I'm always wanting to be doing something. And if I'm not busy, I'm not productive, I'm bored. And that's the truth about a lot of students, too, that we have to be doing something all the time.
Yeah, that's my son. If I could go back to when he was younger, it seemed like he just had to be doing something. He's got to be doing something. I see, as a father, I just said, well, I got to keep him busy, you know, until he finally goes off to sleep. And then I got to figure out how to keep him busy because he was always wanting to do something.
It is. It's the way our brain works. We're always thinking and always creating.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, the younger the student, I think when we're younger, we want to be like, we operate in the easiest part of our brain, which is our right brain thinking. And then as we, mature into our teen years, that's when we start experiencing the boredom because we're wanting to maneuver our brains, trying to maneuver over into left brain thinking and utilizing the intellectual abilities and our higher critical thinking skills. And so that can be frustrating. That can be frustrating depending on the level of cognitive development of the student.
Can you tell us a little bit about your book, Memoirs?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, sir. Memoirs actually takes the reader through my younger years as a child with ADHD and then through my teen years where I was bullied and experienced a lot of, I want to say, discrimination and harassment for the condition. And then it starts I take them through where my dad died because my dad was actually like you with your son. He was my strongest advocate, and he was my motivator, and he was my encourager, telling me, you know, I could do it. My dad was used because of his military background to help me create structure. And I wouldn't learn later, which my book talks about, and teaches parents how to teach their child structure and coping skills when stress kicks in. And stress is the number one trigger of the condition, which my book talks about. And then you can apply these coping skills until the stress diminishes to help your child continue in their learning process. And so I basically give parents these tools and the students these tools to apply to their lives and getting to know themselves, getting to know the condition so they can learn to overcome.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. And this is something, let me see here. When all the odds are stacked against a human being to succeed, this is when the tough get going. What do you mean by that?
When the tough get going, I really think, and I wrote this in my master's thesis, about personality differences, whether it's an autistic child or an ADD, ADHD child, whether it's any child dealing with any type of weakness. I mean, do they have a personality that's going to persevere? And do they have the equipping skills to help that child and motivate that child along until they can gain those abilities to persevere? Because eventually we are going to have to push through that place and have to learn to, you know, make our own way in the world. And some people do that better than others. So that's what I'm just basically trying to, give the message. But it's all dependent upon, the individual personality.
When did you find out that you wanted to help others?
You know, sir, since I was a little girl, all I ever wanted to do was help people. And I didn't know what that would entail. And so I prayed one night and I asked God, I was like, how can I be the best help to you and the best help to others around me? Because I love people. love people.
Yeah.
Some more than others. Because of the
same here. Same here.
I know. Forgive me.
That's all right.
We're just being honest.
That's
but,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
My heart is to help people. And so that's mm-hmm. why I wrote this book. And that's my life goal now.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the reasons why I have this radio show is to help people. That's what it's all about with me. Not just to help people, but try to help out the world, the community, the city, whatever. You know, I'm just not in a studio, just a mouth on a microphone. This I'm here to help because I feel that why am I here on earth? I'm not just here on earth just to occupy space. I'm here to help others
right
who
on.
Have less. Yeah, who have less than I do.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And, you know, it's funny. It's because I think that a lot of people, we get so busy with our lives and we forget.
Mm-hmm.
We get busy living mm-hmm. lives day in and day out. And we forget to notice the world going on around us. And we don't even have time to really take a look at people that come across our path daily. And I think that society has gotten to where they live in a bubble reality where if it's
mm-hmm.
if other people's problems aren't touching them, they aren't affecting them, then they must not be happening. When to the person going through them, they're a very real reality. And so I agree with
yeah.
you. That's why we're put here, is to bring awareness and to bring comfort and to bring tools of overcoming and anything that God would have us use to help others around us.
That's no doubt about it. And you yourself, as you're trying to assist and help other people, it makes you feel good inside just to help. That's
Absolutely.
Your, that's your benefit. That's your gain. All right, Melissa Hood on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tell us where we can find your book and your website.
Well, my website won't be up until later this month. It'll be under mm-hmm. melissahood.com, but you can reach me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I also have a blog site, which I give daily encouragement on. It's called Tame Your Braino, and you can buy
Tame
my book.
Tame Your Braino.
Tame Your Braino. It's for encouragement, daily nuggets of encouragement. You can follow me there. But you can buy
wow.
my book at Barnes & Noble, Morgan James Publishing, or is Amazon.com.
Oh, okay. No problem. No problem. I can, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read your book. I'm going to read it in its entirety. I'm going to leave you a review.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool. Sounds cool. And also,
yeah.
if your listeners want, I've sent you a protected copy. So they can, if they want to call in, I'll give you permission to give 3 copies away for free if you'd like.
No problem. No problem. I mean, you know what? People love stuff for free. I noticed that. Huh?
I want to help. I wrote it, so absolutely.
Yeah, no problem. Would you like a link of this show to put on your website or your blog or, you know, just
oh,
so
sure.
people can come by and listen to you as you give this important information out?
You bet. I would love it. I'm going to put it on my website, actually.
Yeah, no problem with that. Hey, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for coming back.
You bet, sir. It's always a blessing to talk to you, and you have a great week, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Melissa Hood on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back, folks. Let's see if we can find a music. I'm going down. Here we go. Thank you.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something out of order, you know what I'm saying? So niggas just do what the fuck they want to do.
Got you. You ready?
Rolling.
I'm from the South Side. I grew up, born, raised here. I've been shot like 30 times with this gangbang and shit. Everybody knows. Yes, the music here got a little bit to do with all the violence because you got to remember, this, all these guys that's making music now were gang members first. Before y'all even heard of them or whoever they is or whoever their name may be, they was gangbanging here. And this is how this city designed. You're going to be something, or you ain't going to be nothing.
They took all the gang chiefs away. They took the structure. When they took the structure away, man, we developed a systematic, I call it a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic downfall, man. They put a glitch in our computer chip when they took all the gang chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they took the projects. They took the gang chiefs first. Then they took the projects. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to take their structure. Then we're going to put them out in the ghettos and let them kill themselves so we can go and clean them off the streets. And this shit ain't no movie, though. It's real life. We living this shit, man. It's Taliban, Al-Qaeda shit is going on over here. And we in war with each other, man. It's like, so, we don't give no fuck about nobody else.
I was calling at a gas station, and what they call lacking on 67 and Cottage Grove. Person ran up on my car, shot all up in the car, hit me 7 times on my stomach, my neck, my jaw, my hand, my back, almost hitting like 2 inches away from my spine. Like, it was crazy. I was in the hospital for maybe a month, lost massive weight. I weighed like 90 pounds afterwards, like, had to recover therapy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it's hectic out here for real. Like, when I talk about Chicago, like, it's really like that here. Like, it's living proof.
My name is Valerie Kyles from Chicago, Illinois, outside our building at 5110 South King Drive. I was the mother of a son that was gunned down. I really can't comprehend why they're still happening, but something is missing for the young men. These kids have no hope. They don't care if they die, some of them. But you need to have a hope and teach your sons hope that they can live and be men, productive.
We pulled up on the scene and shit. We think we was going to jump out and shit, and we was going to beat their ass at first, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was going to start fighting, and then if somebody would jump, I was gonna get to shooting at a motherfucker, you feel me? But shit, before a motherfucker even get out the car, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, all you just see is just, you know what I'm saying? You hear it, pop, pop, pop. You know what I'm saying? They shoot the car up, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? My homie rushed to the hospital, stopped at the light and shit, tied me up, you feel me, with a sweater, you feel me? And then, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker walked in the hospital and blanked out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, I got popped in the head. Real shit, man. This shit is real out here, man. 15 years old. No flies in, bro. Feel me? This shit is deep, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Carlos, my phone.
Iraq, everybody's scared to come to that. Everybody's scared to come to Chicago. And, you know, there's a war zone in Chicago. Like, 10 years, I want to be big house. My family out the hood, ain't got to worry about nothing. Sleep good, and I ain't got to worry about nothing being shot at, none of that.
Growing up in Chicago, it was like good and bad. I had a lot of fun, but it's kind of dangerous having fun. First thing I remember is being arrested when I was a shorty. Like that changed when I became a part of the system and shit. You know what I'm saying? I was locked up, I think like four bags of crack. I was like 13. Feel me? So once I became a part of the system, it kind of fucked me up because it was like in and out after that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't got the privilege of having their mother in their life or their father in their life. Some people, mama crackhead, you feel me? Daddy might never not been there. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as that inside household situation go bad, that's when you become an adult, aside from what you're doing outside of that.
Idle time is the devil's playground. When you're doing something with your time, then you can survive. But when you're not doing nothing with your time and you just out here with these and just every other thug, then you're going to get a thug lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? If you're on bullshit, bullshit happens. You think about it, you win this bullshit, bullshit happens. You know what I'm saying? No dead grows. You know? And that's all. You know?
Favorite memories growing up. Just you know what I'm saying, the old days when it used to be cool, like it'd be fun, like you just going kick it, hooping the shit with the guys and shit, like no game banging, none of that. Before motherfucker was on doing smoking weed and all that drinking and shit. Like when it was fun, now it's like, you know, you gotta be on shit, don't be too fun no more.
Yeah, man.
I'm Hustle Simmons. I'm from the west side of Chicago, went to school in the South Burbs. I'm a branding and marketing, I guess, guy. The Chicago neighborhoods nowadays is just like when you drive through them, you just see kids out there just trying to make it to the next day. You know what I'm saying? And they're not even really getting to enjoy Chicago. They just trying to survive. You know, I'm around the world. I'm working with LeBron, Rick Ross, Diddy, Jay-Z, all these big people. And I get a phone call that my brother got murdered. It just woke me up, and like no matter where you can live in the burbs, you can live in a penthouse downtown. If violence gonna find you, it's gonna find you. So I really don't see it getting better. But I'm not gonna stop trying. I'm not gonna stop trying to talk to these kids, and I just hope other people in my position, you know what I'm saying, talk to these kids as well. And who knows?
Man, my age in Chicago was like being old. I'm 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? The life expectancy in the hood, you know what I'm saying, it statistically ain't that long. You know what I'm saying? So 25 might be old. You know what I'm saying? 21 might be old. If the casket's getting shorter and shorter nowadays. You know what I'm saying? What you doing out here in the streets?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
That's a fella. He sounds like a crackpot, 21 years old, and 20. Boy, I wish I was 21. Some people you just cannot listen to. But that was related to the crime statistics in Chicago. And folks, it is out of control. And these police officers and politicians, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, they don't have a clue. They do not have a clue on how to lower the crime in the city of Chicago. The crime in the city of Chicago, it's ridiculous. We're the third largest city in the United States. When we have California and New York, their crime rate combined is not even higher than Chicago's. That's a damn shame. That is a shame. Wow. This is something. This is something. All right. Rahm Emanuel defending a record property tax hike that is about to hit the mailboxes. We're all going to pay for his $588 million property tax that he enacted about a year ago. And it is a mess. And he's trying to defend property taxes. That's one of the reasons, why people are up and leaving Chicago. Too many goddamn taxes. And I'm hearing that the legislature is going to be taxing our asses again to pay for school pensions. I don't like that. Firefighters, police. Why would we pay for, especially for police, when they can't get this damn crime down? Yeah, he's defending it. How do you defend that? How do you defend raising property taxes out of control? But he's going to try to defend it. How can you defend it? He's a lame duck governor. I mean, a mayor. He's a mayor, and his poll numbers are in the 30s. How can he defend it? Nobody's going to listen to him. Nobody's listening to him. He can defend all he wants to. Let me get back to we'll get talk about this later. Let me say this about what I was discussing with Melissa Hood, author Melissa Hood, on the show moments ago. We should be out here to help others. That's what it's all about, folks. On the George Wilder Jr. Show, helping others try to better their lives. If you have a little bit more than someone else, then you know, help out someone, community, neighborhood, city, your state. There's always someone in need of help, and there's always someone out there with their hands out, literally. So we have to do something to help other people. And like I've said before, what are you good for? Why are you on the earth? You're on this earth. If you have a living and breathing body, you can help others. You don't need a lot of money. Basically, what you need is time, and put time and some effort. And we can help each other make this world a better place, because Lord knows it needs it. I mean, especially make Chicago a better place. That's in with making the world a better place. All right. I just wanted to get that in there because I want to make sure that that's a part of this show. This show is all about making the world a better place, not just criticizing people, not just talking about people. If I'm criticizing people on this show, it's because they're not doing the right thing in order to help make this world a better place. You're not making the world a better place, Rahm Emanuel, by hurting people. Hurting people with this high-ass tax, property tax increase, especially people who are struggling already, and then people who can't pay it. Just think about the people who can't pay this high-ass that property tax that he enacted with the city council. Just think how many people are going to lose their homes because of it. And that's one of the things that Rahm Emanuel and his minions do. They tax you out of your home. And this is what this is, $588 million tax. And now he's trying to defend that, says that he deserved to have done that. You deserve to have upended people from their homes and their apartments because they can't afford to pay this damn property tax hike that you enacted. That's why people are leaving. People are being taxed up the kazoo, and now the legislature is talking about taxing people down the road. Tax, 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 tax. And you wonder why people are leaving Chicago. You wonder why people are leaving the state. It's because politicians, they have their hands in our pockets, and then they try to justify that. Rahm Emanuel is good for that. He is good for going inside of your pocket and then trying to justify it. There's no justification for robbing people. There's no justification for having people thrown out of their homes because they cannot pay or afford the high property taxes that he has enacted, that he is to blame for. And yet he's trying to now save his face over it, and it ain't happening. Okay, with outrage, homeowners lighting up the phones, the Emanuel administration is scrambling to find the $10 million to the to find $10 million to $50 million needed to bankroll a rebate. Man, pissed off homeowners are nailing his ass to a wall. They are. And then he's trying to defend that. Rahm Emanuel is the worst mayor the city of Chicago has ever had. The one before him, Mayor Daley, he was a clown. He was a klux. He was stupid. He was bad, too. He was bad, and this guy is just as equally or even worse. Then we have an asshole governor. He's a mess. So this is why I was saying earlier, maybe the federal government should step in and do something, because we got these rogue politicians who are just wreaking havoc on the people of this state and city. And then they try to justify it. There is no justification. There is nothing Rahm Emanuel can say about this ridiculous property tax hike. The governor is coming with one. The legislature is going to come with another tax hike. We've already had a tax hike from the Cook County Board. Toni Preckwinkle, she enacted more taxes, sale taxes. You buy a Coke, you're going to pay a dollar in taxes. This is ridiculous. Chicago is not only the murder capital of the world, we have the highest damn taxes in the world. No wonder people are leaving. And the only people that are staying are the ones who can't afford to leave. Because if you can afford to leave Chicago, you're going to do it. But there's people here who can afford to pay these taxes, and some of them are staying. Because they love Chicago. They're not going to let a bunch of rogue politicians run them out of the city that they love. But still in all, people have the right to bitch over something that they feel is unfair, and these taxes are unfair. Like I just said, people are being priced out of their homes. They can't pay these fucking taxes. And now Rahm Emanuel is trying to defend that. Let's see what he's saying, because it doesn't matter what he's saying. It ain't going to work. It's not going to be compute. Nobody is going to listen to him. Because we're the ones who got to come out of our pockets and pay, not him. You know, Rahm Emanuel defends record property tax hike as bills mount. So it's a mess, folks. It's a mess. And also we have about 42 principals in the city of Chicago that have resigned or quit, left or quit, one of them. And teachers are leaving because they're insecure about their future in Chicago public schools. And I can't blame them. I mean, you want a secure job. You want a job that is there for you. And they do not trust the politicians. And they think that the politicians are shortchanging the children, and they are. So these guys are leaving for greener pastures. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And yet the mayor and the governor says nothing to principals and teachers leaving the Chicago public school system. They say nothing of that. They don't even mention it. As if it's nothing. As if it's just a blip. You know. Wow. So, folks, we have our, as I've said in so many shows, we have our problems in Chicago. We really do. And I'm pretty sure that other states around the country, other cities around the country have their problems, too, with these knucklehead politicians. And okay, so I'm looking at the Orlando killings. We're going to have to do something about that one. And we're going to take a break right now. I'm still looking at some things on Prince here. And we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders joining me now.
The Morcellator is increasing the occurrence of uterine cancer. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. All right, the FBI do not charge Clinton, and Trump is totally beside himself. The FBI decided there should be no criminal charges against Hillary Clinton and her emails, even though he said they were stupid. And the FBI director, he stated that there should be no charges for Hillary Clinton. And also the attorney general said that she is going to listen to the FBI, basically. So actually, basically, in short, Clinton gets off scot-free. And a lot of people are pissed off about that. You know, actually, I do think Clinton screwed up. I do think she screwed up. She should have been using her public email for public her public emails for her public job. You know, I mean, she's using private emails. That's crazy. And doing public work. I mean, that's crazy. And she will not be charged. But a lot of Republicans are pissed off. I actually think the reason why she wasn't charged is because they didn't want to mess with her as she was running for president. They want her to be president. And I think that's what Donald Trump is trying to say. Well, this is rigged or something. That those are his words. It's rigged. He feels that Clinton is a Democrat, and it was the Democrats who got her off. That may be true. Because if this was Republican, if the Republicans were in charge of investigating Hillary, she would have been all indicted in court, and she would have to give up her presidential run. Trump is saying that Hillary got away. Wow. I don't think she's gotten away with a damn thing. I really, truly don't. And now, you know, Hillary Clinton and President Obama, they're out there campaigning their asses off. You know, it's just, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not too much into Hillary Clinton. And Obama lost me a long time ago. So, you know, we just have to wait and see what happens. We got to wait and see what happens. But Donald Trump, it's always amusing to watch Donald Trump. It sure is. It's always you try to figure out his reactions to what's going on in the world, especially when it's affecting his campaign. My understanding is that Donald Trump is looking for a VP, a vice president. And that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. And my understanding that a lot of people that he had on a short list, they do not want to run with him. There might be a few who want to run with him. They want to run with him for the recognition, you know, the idea that they could be president one day once he's impeached and thrown out. You know, it's a lot of reasons to why people would want to run with Donald Trump. But there's quite a few Republicans that say, hell no, they will not run with Donald Trump. They will not support Donald Trump, you know. And but, you know, with all of this, I want to encourage people and say that just because you think Donald Trump is weak in the money department, and I mean, in every department, even in the brain department, do not underestimate Donald Trump, because you never know. This guy could wind up being the next president of the United States. And in my view, if Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States, we're going to have. Riots all over the place, everywhere. I mean, he's going to start I mean, he's going to start wars. We're going to World War III. You can believe that if we get Donald Trump. I mean, look at his rallies, folks. His rallies, they tell you what's going to happen once he becomes president. His rallies are racist, bigoted, hateful. Once he becomes president, it's going to be the same thing. So we have to get Hillary in there. We have to, you know, I'm going to put it this way. We have to just hold our nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. No matter what we feel about her. I think she's untrustworthy. I think she's a liar. I think all of this. And she knows the one thing about Hillary Clinton. She knows that we think these things about her. And she's vying to try to change her ways. People don't trust her. I mean, if I was running for president and I had the majority of the American people were untrustworthy, was saying that I was untrustworthy, I would kind of feel bad over that. They don't believe me. They don't trust me. They don't like me. I would feel bad about that. She's saying all of that stuff is untrue, but we've seen evidence of that during the campaign when she was debating Bernie Sanders. She threw out a whole lot of stuff on Bernie Sanders that wasn't true. And one of the things about Bernie Sanders, he knew so much about Hillary that was negative, but he did not hit her with it. That was probably his unraveling and the busting of his presidential campaign. He did not hit Hillary as hard as he should have when he was coming out of the gate. That Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders had. Bernie knew a lot. He had a lot on her, but he didn't use it. He didn't use the ammunition that he should have used on Hillary Clinton to knock her out of the race. Therefore, by not using all of that ammunition that he had on Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton has now knocked him out of the race. And we can only blame Sanders. I know he's kicking himself right now. I could have said this about Hillary. I could have said that. And he would have been telling the truth. But he held back on attacking Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton did not hold back on attacking Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders said in one of the debates, enough with your damn emails. I felt, and the crowd went wild, but I felt that he actually helping Clinton out when he said that. He brought in voters for Clinton when he said that. That was something he shouldn't have said because he sided with Clinton. And if you listen to Bernie Sanders, he never addressed Hillary Clinton as Hillary. He addressed Hillary Clinton as Madam Secretary. He was being totally respectful. And I think that was one of Bernie Sanders' undoing. I think that he made a mistake on that. But still in all, he knew a hell of a lot on Clinton negatively, but he would not attack her. And I think that was a mistake because now he's out of the race. He's totally out. If he would have attacked her from the start, we would be looking at Bernie Sanders right now, folks. But Bernie Sanders refused to attack Hillary the way he should have attacked her from the beginning till now. And he should have stopped with that. He should have attacked her with the emails. He should have attacked her with what he actually knew about her that could hurt her. But he refused. So now he's out of the race. He's out. And I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. That was no doubt about that. That was no doubt about that. Let's see if we can do this. I know, somehow the computers are not working right, folks. Things happen they do happen. The computer is not working right. Okay, let's take a break, and maybe we can get this together by the time we get back. All right, here we go. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, author Melissa Hood, for being on the show. She was great. She was wonderful. I got to get on her book. I got to read it, and I'm going to review it for her. And I will let her know when that review is up and ready. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said before at the beginning of the show, folks, it is a great day in Chicago weather-wise, and I hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening, and I hope you are listening, and I hope that you are having a good time wherever you are. If you're not out enjoying weather, the good weather, if it's where you are, get out there and enjoy it. But make sure you protect yourself, and you know how to do that, you know, because too much sunshine, too much heat, too much humidity is not good for some of us. And it's been a pleasure, folks. And I want to say again, happy belated July 4th. And I hope you guys had a lot of fun, stayed safe, played with your fireworks and stayed safe. And they can be dangerous. And once again, I want to say thanks to my guest, author Melissa Hood. She's always a great guest to have. This is her second time being on the show, and hopefully she can come back in the near future. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me LinkedIn. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. Okay, we got about two minutes left into the show, and it's been fun, folks. Like I said before, this is making the world a better place, one show at a time. And that's what it's all about. And that's what I'm going to make it. It's this kind of a show. You know, and I want to say one thing before I actually sign off. Internet radio is just as good or better as broadcast radio. Do not ever think that internet radio is something lesser than broadcast radio, because we who are internet radio hosts, we are heard all around the world. And that's one of the reasons. And that's one of the reasons why we're always trying to make the world a better place. All right, folks, join me tomorrow. Bye-bye. Better.